Right, we shall go to Ephesians this morning and continue in Ephesians 6, where we left off a month ago, where we read about how we are to put on the whole armor of God. I'll be looking this morning at verses 13 through 15 in this passage, and hopefully we'll see how much we can dive into during this time, but we will take a look at those things. I'm going to read the whole passage in its context from verse 10, so I'll read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, down through 18. Hear the word of God. Paul is writing to the Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present age, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Let's end the reading there. And now we'll try to look at, we have been looking at the introduction of this thing Paul is doing, talking about the powers we're fighting against. We shall have a short recap of that also, so that we remember the enemy that we have against us. And we shall try to look at some of the parts of God's armor, the first three parts, but I'm not sure if we'll be able to make it. But we'll look at some of the first parts of the armor of God and what they mean. Paul here is giving an exhortation first, where he begins in verse 10. He exhorts them to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And he illustrates this. It's one thing to just say a sentence, be strong in the Lord and in his power and might. We also have to understand how to do this. How does this come about? So he gives an illustration. He gives some details by talking about putting on an armor, the armor of God. Now, as a soldier goes into battle, he needs to put on an armor so that he can stand against the enemy. And so we as Christians, in the battle that we have, the wrestling that we have, the enemies that we have to put on the right armor as well, the armor of God. And many people have done, sort of try to interpret this allegorically, or in too much detail, going too much into detail of What does the breastplate of righteousness mean? Why is righteousness described as a breastplate and not as a belt or shoes? Why is he using the breastplate of righteousness like that? And so people go into speculations, trying to describe in what way righteousness is like a breastplate, or in what way our shoes is like the gospel of peace, or in what way, different ways these things are different sets of armor. We're not going to really look into those kind of details, but rather look at what is these things that we are to put on. Not that they look like a kind of armor, but these truths, the belt of truth. What is truth? Breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? We shouldn't ask what is a breastplate. What is righteousness? We shouldn't ask what are shoes. We should ask what is the gospel of peace. I think that Paul's intention is not that we go into the details of the different pieces of armor. His intention is to tell us, first, he describes that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not like we are putting physically on kinds of armors. It's spiritual armor. Not fighting against flesh and blood. Our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. It's not like in real battles where we fight flesh and blood, where militaries, soldiers are fighting each other with weapons, physical armor. We are wrestling against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We have to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, or literally, as it says, the methods of the devil. The devil and his methods. We have spiritual enemies, demons, devils, Satan and his minions. It's not flesh and blood. They're not physical beings. It's not like in those video games. It's not like in a video game called Diablo, where you're a soldier. You can be a paladin or a warrior with physical armor and physical swords. And this computer game, the goal is to walk around with your sword and kill physical monsters and demons. And at the end you meet Diablo himself, the devil with his horns and pigtail and wings and things. And the goal is to try to defeat the devil with swords and armor and weapons. This is not what the Bible talks about. This is not how the Bible describes the devil and the warfare that Christians have. It's not like in the game Zelda, the latest Zelda game, where the final boss is called Ganondorf, the demon king. He turns into a demon at the end with horns and long red hair that looks like fire and has big muscles. And again, you're trying to defeat him using a sword, the master sword, or arrows, or try to defeat him with physical weapons. It's not like that, or it's not like in the old classic game Doom, where you walk around with a shotgun or rocket launchers and you're shooting demons with shotguns. You're running around, and and then you're shooting the demons and the blood is splashing everywhere, and at the end the entire floor is full of dead corpses, full of blood and demons. This is not what the Bible talks about either. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the spiritual forces of evil. So we can't use any physical weapons. We're against the devil and his methods. The devil doesn't have physical methods against you. The devil doesn't want to. The devil is not trying to physically kill you in a physical way with his horns or whatever. Horns, chainsaw, swords, whatever he uses, whatever people imagine he's using. He has other methods to make you fall. He wants to kill you spiritually. He wants you to thrive in this life. Have a good life here and now. As long as you far away from God. As long as you remain spiritually dead. As long as he, if possible, if he could kill you spiritually again. So that you would be far away from God. That are his methods. He doesn't appear like a mighty demon with horns. A mighty scary demon with a pointy tail and teeth and horns. He appears as an angel of light, as we read in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. Where Paul is talking about the false apostles. He's talking about the false apostles, the deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. He's not trying to scare you. The devil doesn't show up like a scary monster that's trying to scare you away. Look at these so-called Satanists out there. They're trying to dress up in black with piercings everywhere and tattoos and pentagrams and upside down crosses, long black leather robes, trying to look scary. Those guys are not real Satanists. Satan is not trying to scare people away from him. He's trying to lure people to him. And I believe that these self-professed Satanists are not Satanists at all. Satan has nothing to do with them. Satan doesn't care. People are openly calling themselves Satanists. Satan wants to be in secret. He disguises himself. He's not trying to scare anyone. He's not trying to show up and scare people into worshipping him with a scary appearance or a mighty appearance. He disguises as an angel of light. He comes as an attractive person. He says nice things to you. He doesn't say scary things to you. He's not coming to you and saying, "Come, I'm going to take you to hell. Follow." He's trying to come. This is a good place. He's trying to make you confused. Trying to trick you. Make you confused. Make you doubt in God. Think of these. Not of these people with leather vests or leather suits. Think of the nice old men. Old mys farmer. Those cozy old men. Wear a jersey, sitting down with a cup of tea in the couch, talking about how Jesus didn't really die to take the punishment from for your sins. It's okay to sin. You don't have to repent. God loves you anyway. Those are kind of satanic things. Those are the real satanic words. Satan wants to make us fall. He wants to trick us into sinning. Trick us into believing the wrong things about God. Trick us into blaspheming God. He wants to twist the scripture. He wants to lure you. He wants to tempt you to sin. He doesn't come in openly and say, "Here, come here and sin with me." He wants to tempt you. He might say, it's okay, the Bible isn't really clear about those things. The Bible isn't really clear if this is a sin, so surely it doesn't hurt to do this thing, whatever your favorite sin is. You know, the devil wants to make you sin with sins that you like, the sins that you love, the sins that make you feel good. He wants to and say that God really said that this is a sin. Did God really say? You remember when Satan dressed up as a snake in the garden and said, "Did God really say?" He wants to make you doubt his word and its clarity. He wants to lure you into sin. If possible, draw you away from God and kill you spiritually. That is the wiles of the devil, the methods of the devil. Many of the methods I mentioned last time as well, and repeated some of them, and maybe added some of them, but the devil's target is not to kill your body, to saw you in half with a chainsaw or anything. His aim is to kill your spirit, if possible, and take you away from God. Kill your soul. And because of this, in verse 13, because this struggle, this wrestling we have is spiritual, it is impossible for flesh. It is impossible for our flesh, for our physical natures as humans, to stand against these forces, because we are not spiritually strong. We cannot stand against these things with our fleshly methods, with our fleshly means, with physical weapons, with physical wrestlings. It is a spiritual fight. And then many may say that then, okay, I'm going to have all the religious rituals that can try to protect me from warding off evil spirits. You know, the different methods people have in different religions to ward off evil spirits, putting garlic on their door, spreading salt around themselves, wearing talismans or amulets, doing rituals, saying, casting spells or whatever. And they think that this is also a way to spiritually fight spirits, by doing some kinds of rituals, whatever people have. The Catholics, the exorcists, going to a house and spread holy water everywhere. Throw some holy water on a person who is possessed, and they think that it's going to burn away the demon from them. This is nowhere in the Bible. Paul here says instead, "You shall find strength in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord." He doesn't talk about our own might or strength. It is impossible for us in all ways we can imagine. We can't imagine how to fight spirits. And when we look at how false religions have tried to imagine how to fight spirits with all the different, as I mentioned, hair feet and amulets and garlic and holy water and rice and You know how they fight off evil spirits in some cultures? They believe that the evil spirits live in corners. They hide in corners. So you have to take a bowl of rice and put it in the corner. And the demons, they hate tobacco smoke. So you have to light a cigarette and put it in the bowl of rice. And that will scare away the demon. What imagines people have? What are these imaginations? We are lost when it comes to fighting evil spirits. We can't come up with anything reasonable. We have to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And Paul shows here we need to put on the whole armor of God. Not our own armor, not what we can imagine to put on kinds of armor. The whole armor of God. Not parts, not pieces. The whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, the methods of the devil. Because he is cunning. He loves to have people believing you can fight demons with cigarettes. He loves having people believing that Satanists are people with black clothes who walk around with long hair and pentagrams. Most of all, he likes people to believe it doesn't exist at all. That there is no devil anywhere. He is cunning. He doesn't need your worship like that. That you believe him and worship him like that. He just wants you to sin and go away from God. He just wants to destroy you. He hates because you are created in God's image, and he wants to destroy God's image. So Paul starts here. Now we shall start. We can't say much here now during this time. I just wanted to repeat the devil and his schemes and what we are standing against, so we can understand and remember again. There are few sermons on the devil nowadays. There are few sermons about God as well out in the churches. In one church, I heard someone was talking to someone in Sweden, was a church member in a church. They were talking, and the other guy asked the other one, "How is it in your church?" And the man answered, "Well, I'm not very fond of this pastor we have, because he preaches about God all the time. He preaches too much about God." I mean, I was happy to hear that it was a pastor who was preaching about God. There are not many churches that preach about God nowadays. And even less churches that preach about the devil nowadays. People don't know much about the devil. Some of them call themselves Christians. Say that the devil is just a metaphor. The devil is not a real person, really. It's just a metaphor for the evil that men do, if there is evil at all. We need to know the devil and his methods. So he tells us to put on the whole armor of God, so that we can stand fast against these things and withstand and stand on that evil day. And the evil day, of course, is every day. Every day is a day of battle between you and the forces of darkness. That evil day when Satan Satan has evil plans for you every day. If you don't have plans for yourself, if you don't follow God's plan for your life every day, Satan is sure to have a plan for your life. He wants to make you sin. He has sins for you every day. He has ways for you to go away from God every day. He has temptations for you every day. As if it wasn't enough that the fact that our own flesh is tempting us to sin every day. Those who are tempted are not tempted by God, but their own flesh, their own sin, their own temptation, as the book of James say. But as if that weren't enough, Satan is also tempting us, trying to tempt us. It's not only ourselves, and it's not only the fact that Satan doesn't really exist. Now I will only have time to talk about the first piece of armor here. I want to get into that. Don't just want to leave us here. We'll find strength in the Lord and the power of His might, so that we can stand against the methods of the devil. The first piece of armor, he says, in verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth. And I could preach a sermon on each piece of armor as well, but I don't plan to do that. Now we'll just look quickly on this first part, the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Truth is important, first of all. And this is the first thing he mentions. The belt of truth that helps us stand against the devil. The belt of truth. In truth, by standing in the truth, by girding ourselves in the truth, that is one of the pieces of armor in which we gather strength from the Lord, the Lord's strength, so that we can stand against the methods of the devil. And of course, truth is important for Christians. We are to walk in truth. We are to act according to truth as Christians. We know even from the Ten Commandments, you shall not lie. It is a sin to lie. And the opposite of lying is truth. You shall be truthful. You shall be honest. You shall be upright. We stand against the devil and his methods by standing for truth, in truth, being girded with truth. First of all, we can look at how we act according to truth in John 3 and 21. Jesus says, who but, starting verse 20, everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Whoever does what is true comes to the light. Whoever does what is true acknowledges that your works are evil, because those who hate the light do not come to the light, lest their works should be exposed. But those who do what is true comes to the light. They come to the light to confess their sin. Satan doesn't want you to confess your sin. Satan wants to, of course, you should be ashamed of your sin, but Satan wants you to be so ashamed of your sin that you will not confess them, that you will not come out into the light and do what is true and right. The right thing is to come to God and confess your sin. A prerequisite of being forgiven is to confess your sin. If you deny your sin, truth is not in you, as John writes in his first letter. The truth is about the gospel. Paul writes here in Ephesians 1 and 14. Same book, verse chapter 1 and 14. No, not 14. Well, 13 and 14. In him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. The lie of the devil is to distort the gospel, not give a true gospel, give a false gospel, to give you a lie about how to be saved, or even lie to you that you have sinned so much that you cannot be saved. You have sinned beyond God's grace. There is not enough grace for all your sins anymore. You have sinned too much. It's over. Or he can say, now that you have sinned so much, you will have to really try to make yourself righteous. Try to earn your salvation back, or earn your good standing back. Both of these paths leads you away from God. Both of these paths are paths built by Satan to leave you away from God, lead you, misguide you away from God, either by saying you have sinned so much you can't have anything to do with God anymore, you better go and sin all the way because it's over for you. Or he can say, follow this false path of salvation to a false God, a false system of righteousness. But knowing truth protects us against the devil. Knowing the true gospel, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and that his blood is sufficient to atone for all your sins, and that his grace abounds the more you have sinned, the more his grace abounds. That salvation is by grace alone, and that God delights to save sinners because of his own glory and his grace. Knowing this truth will protect you from the devil and his lies, his false gospels. Paul again writes in Colossians 1:6, you heard and understood God's grace in truth. Be girded in truth. Jesus himself is the truth. It's not merely talking about us being truthful, honest, speaking truth, knowing the truth. It's about Jesus, ultimately. Jesus, who is the truth. We know the quote from John 14 and 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. And again, the devil is the father of lies. John 8:44. The devil is the father of lies. How do you defeat the devil then? With truth. The truth shall set you free. And again, not by our efforts of being truthful ultimately, but Jesus, who is the truth, protects us. It is the Lord Jesus and his mighty, almighty strength. Who is the truth that protects us against the devil? By knowing truth, by knowing Jesus Christ, you can identify the lie of the devil, all the lies he tells. We've gone through some of them, the false gospels, the lies about God, the lies that it's okay to sin, you don't have to repent to be saved, or the lies, on the other hand, that you just have to try to stop sinning so that you can earn your salvation. Those are lies from the devil. All these false religions, all these false systems, the one true religion is Jesus Christ himself. The way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way to the Father except by him. So, we are strengthened. I'm going to wrap this up here. We are strengthened in the Lord by holding us to Jesus, who is the truth here. By staying with him, keeping ourselves with him, clinging to him, being protected by him and his almighty attributes. When we keep us to Jesus, keep close to him, keep true to him, who is truth, that is like girding ourselves in truth. Girding ourselves with a very strong belt that protects us from the evil powers, the enemies, the devil, and all wicked spirits, all evil spirits and powers. So doing this, keeping us to truth with Jesus, living truly, living truthfully, keeping us to him, clinging to him, being upright and honest, and clinging and trusting in him and his truth. That's a very strong piece of armor that protects us from the enemies and help us stand fast. But we need to put on the whole armor of God, not just one piece of it. So that those things we will continue looking at during the following Sundays this month when I am preaching. But we'll end there and say a word of prayer. Amen. Lord, we are thankful for your word, and we thank you for everything, for the warnings you are giving here, the exhortations that we are to put on your whole armor, that we are to find strength in you, to gather strength in you, to be strengthened in you. And Lord, we thank you that there is strength. You have enough strength for these things that we don't have any strength for. Your might is all powerful. Your strength is almighty and strong. Thank you that you have not left us to fight these fights by ourselves. That you have your word, that you have told us the truth, that you are truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. That we can know what is true when the devil and all his confusions and lies is coming to us, we will not be gaslighted or tricked or fooled. But you have told us what is truth, and we know truth, and we know him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, help us to do these things. To not be tricked away, but help us to find strength in you and keep true to you. Understand the truth. Your word is truth. your Son is truth. You are truth. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.